The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Class is now in session. Welcome to Spirituality 101 with your instructor, Reverend Norman. Come prepared with questions and comments and see through the lens of spirituality. And now, here's your host, Reverend Norman.
Welcome to Spirituality 101. It is again Friday, the day that I look forward to be with you listeners and so that we can share this very special hour together. Spirituality 101 is that missing college course, the course they should have taught in college and they didn't, and we are here to fill in the missing blanks. We're here for you. We are here to facilitate your growth. We are here to help you along the way on this very spiritual journey called life. We're here to bring you new ideas and views and resources and tools of transformation to update you on what the latest methodology there is available to you to be able to expand consciousness, raise your vibration, and manifest in your life as a connection, as a direct connection with your Creator. Today, I have a very special guest, and I'm excited about our guest today because our topic today, we will have some life talk, and our topic today is transitions. And if there ever was a time when we needed to think about and speak about and engage the transitional moments of our lives, it is the times we live in today. So my guest today is Denise Lewis Christopher. She's a writer, an inspirational speaker, an expert on the subject of transitions, and she has just written a book called Between. I find the title very intriguing. The book is called Between, Getting from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. And later on in the show, we will tell you exactly how you can purchase a copy of the book. But for now, please help me to welcome to Spirituality 101 for the very first time, Denise Lewis Christopher. Denise, are you there?
Yes, I am here, Reverend Norma. I am here. Thank you so much.
Welcome, 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 and you are most certainly welcome.
Thank you.
Someone gave me a copy, dear friend of mine, sent me in the mail a copy of your book. And as a matter of fact, it's a signed copy of your book.
Wow.
And the title intrigued me, Between, Getting from Here to There. So I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself and then tell me why you chose that title. How did you go about choosing that title?
You know, let me share this with you. What I talk about, and you said the word life talk. I like dealing with just everyday practical things, everyday practical spirituality. For me, that's based on biblical truth. As a result of my own very many transitions in my life, I began to write. I've been writing for years, but a couple of years ago, I felt the Spirit of God was leading me that it was time to publish. So then I began to write these things because I was in a very, what I call, very challenging sort of interlude in my own life. And I began to write to sort of help me to process my own things. And then I realized that it was big. My ability and my gift of writing, which I believe was given to me by God, was not just for me alone. It was bigger than me. It was to share with others. And I called the book Between because I felt in my own personal life, as I was literally writing the book, that I was stuck sort of between where I was and where I want to be. I called it Between because it's during those times of transition. And you mentioned our modern times, Reverend Norman. We live in an age where everything is push button. Everything is a click of the mouse. Everything is, you know, drive through, fast paced, got to have it now. But I believe it's during those times of transition, those between phases, even the most challenging ones, is where we get our best life lessons, if we would slow down long enough to get it. So I think those, I call the book Between because we are between, in everyone, no matter where we are in our journey, all of us are somewhere where we'd rather not to be. Maybe in not every area of our lives, but if you pick just at random any particular area of our lives, we can say, well, say in the area of my spirituality, say it's in the area of my professional life or my emotional life or my physical life or, you know, my physical health or my financial life or whatever it is, any particular person can pick an area. You know what? I'm here, but I really want to be there. But we have to learn to embrace those between times because that's when we get the clues to our next step. But if we're rushing through it, we miss it, and we have to keep going around that mountain again. So what I'd like to share with you, you know, your listeners, during some point in this conversation, is some of the things and some of the keys we can use to sort of help us to really embrace and enjoy, not only embrace, but enjoy those between phases. And that's where the name of that book came from.
Well, I love it. And I'll tell you why I love it, because I do something called self-evaluation counseling myself. As you know, I have a prison ministry, and I work particularly with people who are severely addicted. And we talk about the timeline of life. And we begin to work along the timeline of life, and as you work along the timeline of life, what you're talking about becomes very critical. We're searching for those transitional moments. It's like listening to music. We listen to music, and the melody is wonderful, the rhythm is beautiful, the harmony is great, the timing is beautiful. But you talk to any musician who puts music together, he or she will tell you one of the most important parts of music is the spaces in between the notes, the spaces in between the beats. And you're not going to get the harmony and the rhythm and all that beautiful stuff if whoever's arranging it does not pay attention to the spaces. The spaces in between, those transitional spaces in between.
Those interludes.
That's appreciate really that where the beauty and the harmony and everything lies. And what I'm hearing you say is that is translated also in the spiritual journey, in the spiritual journey that we're walking. I'm of that opinion that life is all spirit, and we're really trying to be human. We're desperately trying to be human. And it's in the desperation to be human that we fall into the pitfalls.
How about that?
We know how to be spiritual. Inherently, we are spiritual. But we've descended into the physical, and therefore we have to learn how to be very physical.
Exactly.
And in the learning, in the stepping, in making those steps, we have to be mindful of these in between spaces that give us these enormous opportunities, as you say, to be able to grow. But I'm sure you will agree with me, or would you agree with me, that one of the most difficult things as a therapist or even as a writer to do is to get people's attention.
Yeah, and you know why I have to agree with that, Norma? It's because we don't know how to slow down. And I find 90% of the time, most people don't even accept the fact that it's even okay to slow down long enough. Everything is fast-paced. I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that. You know, we're constantly in motion. Our mind is constantly going, trying to figure things out. And you're right, God is a spirit. We worship him in spirit and in truth. But yet, God has put us in a physical place where we have to relate to the real world. We have to relate to people. You know, as human beings, we're called in relationship not only to God, but in relationship to one another on a horizontal level. And so we need to know that it's okay to slow down and enjoy those interludes, or even begin to understand the interludes. If we're constantly moving at 2,000 miles per hour, we're missing it. We're missing it. So I definitely agree with you that those times are very important, but we need to give ourselves permission to say it's okay. I'm going to enjoy this interlude. I'm going to get my lessons from it.
I hear you. I hear you. And to even recognize and acknowledge the importance of the interlude. I see they are cueing us out on music. Would you believe 15 minutes has already gone past?
It is fast.
Listeners, do not go away. We will be back with transitional moments. We're taking a break, and we will be right back.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
We all want peace. We all desire a more meaningful life. We work hard to achieve these things, but at what avail? The key is authentic living with Andrea Matthews. Andrea will interview some of the great spiritual experts of today and will provide wisdom to help you raise your consciousness to the level of your own I Am. Your authenticity can give you miraculous gifts, but you have to know how to get there. Listen for Authentic Living with Andrea Matthews. Heard live every Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network.
What's this? Milk. Low fat, no fat. They're milk too, and their names rhyme.
This man may sound odd.
Low fat, no fat.
But to his 3-year-old daughter helping him pick out food, he makes perfect sense.
Here's cheese with holes in it.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. Take simple moments like shopping and turn them into learning moments.
It's called Swiss.
Swiss has holes.
That's right. Oh, can you say gorgonzola?
Gorgonzola.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Let's sing that new song.
My music track, track, track from my modem jack. Jack, jack plays MP3s, threes, threes, and I download fast, fast, fast. I read the bits, bits, bits on the microchips, chips, chips, and I burnt, burnt, burnt all my favorite hits, hits, hits.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in technology, but parents can help keep them updated. Go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Reverend Norma, and I have with me my guest today, Denise, and we are talking about transitions. And if you've just joined us, Denise has just started us off with a very good definition for transitions and why we need to be paying attention to it. And she also gave us some very solid reasons as to why she chose the word between as the title of her book. So, Denise, I'd like to get a little snapshot of the writer, of the personality behind the writer. You have written such profound, you've given us food for thought in your book. And I'd like to know a little bit of childhood background. Where were you born? Where were you raised? When did you start thinking about things in the depth to which you have expressed in between.
Yeah, I had what I like to think of a very fond, wonderful memories of my childhood. I was fortunate enough to have been raised in a home with my mother and father, and I am one of 12.
Wow.
Children. I am number 11.
Wow.
So I grew up in yes. I was born in New Orleans, Louisiana. Very proud to say that, a product of the Lower Ninth Ward. And that's become sort of a household term since Hurricane Katrina. Mm-hmm. But it will always be home to me, no matter how much it's changed. That's ingrained in me. I got to tell you, a lot of my consciousness really was just by observing my family. I grew up with so many people in my house, my parents.
There were enough people there for observation.
Yeah, there's a lot to write about, right? You know, just observing my older siblings, you know, my parents, you know, the larger community around me. And right about the age of 18, I began to want to go a little bit deeper. Into, you know, we were a family, we were a Christian family, but I wanted something more deeper than what I had attained at the time. And I remember asking my best friend at the time in high school, you know, what do we do to go deeper? So she led me to a home Bible study. As a result of that, for the first time in my life, I met people who were regular, just laymen. They weren't ministers. They weren't bishops. They were people who, everyday people like myself, sort of had begun a journey as to understand practical biblical truth, not just going to church or going to a temple or going to, but understanding how do I relate to the world? How do I take biblical and spiritual truth and apply it in a practical sense? And from that point on, you know, you mentioned, Norma, being a part of prison, doing prison work and volunteering in prison. At the age of 18, I started volunteering in prisons. And
wow.
I did it for 12 years. I did it for 12
wow.
years. Yes, I did. So that's very dear to my heart. And what I found in prison, and this is another thing that perked my consciousness, some of the most brilliant people
yes.
to this
brilliant.
Day, brilliant, creative, artistic, artistic, creative people, smart people, are locked up behind bars. And I'll never forget the sound when I would leave out of that prison, mm-hmm. and I all through my college years and beyond, I would leave out of that prison. I would go on Saturdays and Sunday mornings, and when I would hear those iron bars oh. close behind me, mm-hmm. I knew that I was leaving a wealth of creativity, intelligence and brilliance behind. And it made me come back out and realize, now, wait a minute now. We all had the same opportunities, but our journeys are just so very different.
Different, yes.
So to sort of fast forward things, that was a long time ago. You know, I'm much older than that now. It's a long time ago. So, you know, life was pretty cool as I got to became an adult, rather. I started experiencing some things that sort of rocked my world, some very real practical things, divorce, you know, real difficult transitions that some of us, those things that we wish we didn't have to go through. And as a result of that, I was drawn back to, I started thinking about, because I've been studying the Bible and everything like that. I said, you know what, but this stuff, there's nothing beyond me. There's nothing so big. I believe that God was a God that was intimately concerned with my reality. And I began to study biblical characters. And I said, oh, my God, these people are just like me. They are stuck mm-hmm. between some difficult transitions. And I said, they're not, you know, we look at people like Moses and all these people in Abraham, you know, I said, God, you know, these people are so spiritual, hoo-hoo. But no, they were everyday, regular folk who got up and, you know, went through life. But then I began to study, my focus on spirituality began to change. This was only some few years ago. How did these people, through God, deal with their everyday transitions? And as I began to study that, that ushered me into a different sort of a different leg of my journey. I began to embrace my truth. And my present truth was I was in a difficult place. I was in a dark place. But I didn't have to be intimidated by it because, number one, I knew that God had my best interest in heart. At some point, I got to the place where I realized he had a beautiful plan for my life, and I embraced that. So rather than looking at biblical characters as these people that were way out spooky, they were everyday folks, and I needed to know how they dealt with their transitions. Mm-hmm. And that's what got me to this place. And I just want to share just a couple of things. I don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. I'm still stuck between some things myself because we're constantly growing. This is a journey. Yes. We don't just get there and all of a sudden we got it, because that would make us God, right?
Well, we got it, and we move on to the next.
we have to remember life is a school. We're still, and you never graduate from that.
What do schools do? Also, you did this wonderful job in third grade. We are going to promote you. We're even going to give you a little certificate.
Yes.
Go have a summer vacation, come back, and then I have some more challenges for you.
How about that? You know, Reverend Long, you're right. I talk about that in my book. My maternal grandmother lived to be the age of 102.
Wow.
And I talked to her and I gleaned things from her. And what I learned, that even at her age, there were still lessons to be learned.
Oh, yeah.
And I say this in the book. We can get a PhD. We can get all these doctors and all these initials behind our names and in front of our names. But none of us get to graduate from a school of life.
Well, we do, but what we do
is always gone. A lesson to learn. There's always a lesson to learn.
Yeah, we're gone when we've graduated. If you're still alive, you haven't graduated yet.
Oh, there's always a new lesson. There's always a new lesson. And we need to embrace that, though, because that's how we stretch and that's how we grow.
And who wants
to stop growing?
I want a quote from your book. You say, we need to be okay with brokenness.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
That was born out of a situation where a friend of mine who was in a serious, serious dark place in her life called me sobbing one day, and she was afraid to be real with her present truth, with her reality. She was trying to be strong for everybody in her family. She didn't want people around her to know that she was hurting. She was trying to be the burden bearer, but then she didn't know that she could be okay with not being okay herself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say brokenness is actually a good place to be. We don't like that because it feels uncomfortable in the moment. But I like to tell people that if you're not okay, that's okay to not be okay. Because at any given moment in my life or our lives, we may not be. And unless we accept that as our present truth, we will never get to the point of putting measures in place that will aid us in our healing and aid us in getting to a more positive place. And that's why I feel, you know, because it's such a facade to put on to say, hey, girl, how you doing? Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm blessed and highly favored. You are blessed and you are highly favored. But you know what? I'm just not okay today, or I'm not okay at this point in my life. But if I embrace that, then I could start putting some keys and some tools in place to aid me to get to that beautiful place that I know I want to be and I need to be, because I deserve to be better.
So what I'm hearing, I'd like to summarize it for myself so I can hear it myself. What I'm hearing, we need to be okay with brokenness. So that what I'm hearing is brokenness may be the place of transition. And we're standing on that place of being broken.
Yes.
That might be the edge we're standing on. Step off onto the next leg of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
But until we're okay, because I find so many people in this timeline work that I do, so many people have now 43 years of age and they're still stuck with the brokenness of age 16.
Mm.
And it's very difficult to let go of it. And so everything else that has happened from 16 onwards has got this imprint of what took place at 16. And what I'm hearing from what you're explaining is that unless we learn how to be okay with being at a place of brokenness and knowing that this too will pass, we cannot really engage the what's at the other end of the rainbow.
Exactly, because what makes it difficult for those people to move forward is because they keep telling themselves in the back of their minds, this can't be okay. I was broken at the age of 16. Somebody violated my innocence when I was 8 years old. Or I made these bad mistakes. I made these bad decisions. And because they never rest in that and say, that's okay. So a person like you will come into their lives, try to minister truth to them and get them to the next level. And in the back of their mind, in their spirit being, they're still saying, but it's not okay that I'm not okay. And so that you come to this wall with them. Mm-hmm. And you first have to let them accept the fact, this is your truth. Now take this, accept this, and we're going to go back and we're going to grab some nuggets from those experiences, however painful they are. Mm-hmm. And those are going to be the very things that are going to lay the foundation for propelling you forward.
Okay. So it's hard to move forward if you're still stuck.
If you don't accept
those
the fact
places
that it's
in
okay.
Between.
Yes, yeah. Yes. That it's okay. In other words, if you keep telling yourself there's something wrong with me because I experienced a dark place in my life when I was 16 or when I was 20 or when I was 5, that there's something wrong with me, then you can't move forward. I'm saying, no, there is nothing wrong with you. Some things may have happened to you, but you're okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's some nuggets to be gleaned from what
Absolutely.
Has happened.
Absolutely.
Be okay Absolutely. With the fact you've been taken here and get ready to make the transition.
Absolutely.
Don't go away. We'll be right back. They're cueing us into another break. This is Spirituality 101. We're talking about transitions, and we'll be right back.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life. Pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation.
The results indicate your child has neuroblastoma.
There's evidence of metastasis.
We need to schedule a bone
We'll need to perform a surgical
urinary
biopsy,
VMA detection, MIBG scan. Amplification.
After you hear your child has cancer, chances are you don't hear anything else. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Just what is SkillsUSA?
SkillsUSA specifically prepares you for the workforce.
SkillsUSA empowers students to connect with a network of people. SkillsUSA allows students to connect with business and industry, to manage their education, and to really get a feel of the real world.
SkillsUSA.
Find out more on the web at SkillsUSA.org.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. This is Spirituality 101 with my guest, Denise, and we are talking today about transition. And Denise is certainly giving us some food for thought, a lot of food for thought. I want to quote again from your book, Denise.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such fascinating reading.
Mm-hmm.
And you say here, sometimes we inadvertently throw away things that we should keep,
mm-hmm.
especially when we're mentally tired.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a truth statement.
Mm-hmm.
But to relate it to, I want to really kind of bring a link to what we've been talking about, that life is full of joyful, exciting moments and transitional moments. And some of our transitional moments are sometimes very exciting and joyful.
Yes, yes.
Most of our transitional moments are, in fact, a little traumatic, painful.
Yes.
It's the point at which we're trying to stretch.
Yes.
Universe, God, or whatever is trying to stretch us to the next level. And so even though we may have had transitional moments behind us, and we somehow got through them not really being aware and not really understanding what they truly represented in our lives. But I'd like to ask you now, how do we prepare ourselves? Because life is a spiritual journey. There will be more transitional moments.
Yeah.
How do we prepare ourselves so that we are more consciously aware of the next transition and are more strengthened and prepared to be able to access the doorway and move through a whole lot smoother than?
Right. It's so interesting, Reverend Norma. You know, first of all, you know, we talked about people embracing their present truth where they are and really embracing everything that's happened to them, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, because all those things are part of who we are. You just can't take a giant eraser and erase the parts you don't like.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be wonderful, but it's not reality.
It's not real.
You know, and so, you know, once we come to the reality, and I'd say the beautiful reality, that, hey, you know, some of that bad stuff can do me some good if I accept it. You know, transitions often force us outside of our comfort zones. And as human beings, we like to be comfortable all the time. But life won't allow that because we have to grow. We're constantly being transformed. Okay, so I think one thing, you know, and Jesus said it best, you know, have faith in God. Faith is, I say, is the real meat of everything we're hoping for. You got to believe. You got to believe, A, you deserve the best that God has for you. You're not just insignificant. You're the apple of his eye. You have to have faith. Hope is another big key. You know, we're talking about life keys here, and I won't have time to go through them all, but I'm going to pull out a couple of them. And I say that if we lose hope, we are apt to give up on ourselves and everything that's up ahead for us, everything that we're still, I think, have the ability to contribute to life, to contribute to our community, ourselves, our families, whomever. We have to maintain hope, because without hope, it's all over. Mm-hmm. Integrity is another big one.
Oh, yes, and very big one in these times.
You know, and I say without this life key, that means the key of integrity I'm referring to now, I say that life continues down a very deceptive path. We have to trust ourselves first. Of course, trust God first. Trust that he has put things in us that he wants to use to his glory so that we can have something to administer, to contribute to the world. And then we have to give people a reason to trust us. You know, something that's so interesting, we see a lot of times in current news, you'll see people that have attained this greatness in whatever arena that they're in, be it politics or business or whatever, and they're like as high as they can go in their profession. And all of a sudden, they'll do something that propels them to the forefront, something that lets people know this is not an honest person. They may have had a Harvard degree or a degree from Yale or somewhere else, but because they lack integrity, those are the things that will tear all that they've taken all these years to build up. It'll tear them down faster than anything else. So we have to learn that integrity. Without integrity, and I learned this from studying the life of Joseph in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. But all he went through, he maintained the key of integrity. And that's why that's important to me. The other one, and people may not think this is so spiritual, but it actually is the key of laughter.
Yes.
I always
it's good medicine,
find
isn't it?
Something to laugh about, to laugh at. There's a scripture in Proverbs 17:22. It says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Find something to laugh at. Don't take life so seriously all the time. you know, we have to learn to relax and just sort of glide with it. I think God's in heaven just laughing at a whole bunch of stuff that we do because we don't learn to relax. Find something to laugh at, you know, and finally, patience, you know, and again, we don't have time to go through all of the life keys. There are many, and I talk about them in the book, but patience, you know, we're our own worst critics. We can be patient with everybody but ourselves. Why is that? Why is that?
Patience because we're stuck. We didn't engage those transitional moments well, so we're still stuck.
Because we don't think we're valuable. We don't think we have anything to give back. But what has qualified us to give back, it has nothing to do where we went to school, how many degrees we have. But life, your life has qualified you to give back.
Say that again, please.
Your life is what has qualified you to give back. In all of its darkness, all of its pain, that is the very thing that that gives you the right or qualifies you to give back.
And you know, in our society, that is a phenomenal truth that you have just uttered. But in this society here in America, even our very education, the very education here has taught us to place our focus on what the famous people said or did,
mm-hmm.
or what
mm-hmm.
the philosophers said or
yes.
did. And that
yes.
becomes the mark of measured of
yes.
what you have to offer, whether what you have to offer is in line with what
yes.
these famous people did. What, and we forget,
yes.
or sometimes we're never taught that
yes.
our everyday experiences in life
yes.
and our everyday transitional moments and the energy that went with them is the most powerful things that
mm-hmm.
we give.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. I remembered one of the earlier times when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, going into the prisons in New Orleans. And I remembered seeing young ladies my age that I had gone to junior high school with. And I remember looking at them not so much as criminals, but I looked at them as a wealth of all that life is waiting for them to contribute.
That's right.
That was a part of their journey.
And what they can benefit from the experience
yes,
they've had.
Absolutely. Life. You know, and what has qualified them? Their journey. Yes. And that's why it's so dangerous for us to compare our journey with the next guy's journey. Because we all have different lessons to learn at different junctures of our lives. That was just their journey. But my goodness, their lives, whatever their journey is, may be different from mine or yours, but their life has qualified them to give some very wonderful things back to contribute. And then
and
somebody
applies,
will be blessed.
And that applies to all of us.
Without
in our,
a doubt.
This everyday journey.
Yes. yes.
Called.
Because we all are made in the image of God. God doesn't pick and choose. You know, we pick people according to their status in this world. God doesn't look at he looks at the heart. You know, he looks at your spirit. He looks at your level of integrity, your bent. And so that's what qualifies us. He doesn't say, well, you know, I'm going to pick this person because, you know, they make this much money. They live in that kind of community. They have that degree. No, he is saying all are created in my image. And my spirit is in that person, and I want to use that person to be a blessing, not only to be blessed, but to be a blessing. And we don't have to wait till we have all the answers. We don't have to wait till we've solved all our life's problems. Because remember, transitions is constantly, it's a journey.
It's
we
a journey.
Can begin. We can begin now. If it's just one person.
It's an ongoing journey.
Without
a
doubt.
Where does the word passion fit in there, you think?
Passion. Oh, my. For me, passion for me comes when I start linking my little life, and I say little not in a demeaning sense, but when I start, you know how they say brighten the corner where you are? When I start linking my life to the life of others, and I said, you know what? I'm passionate about this because here's a life that's important, A, to God, that should be important to me, and then I got something to give. Wow, that doesn't set me on fire because for a long time, I thought I had nothing to give. I thought that my life's mistakes, bad choices, bad decisions, foolish things had disqualified me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get your passion is when you realize, you know what? I got something I can give. How about that? Hot dog, I'm somebody.
And do you find that this concept, this notion, this word called passion, is very prominent in those transitional and in between moments. If we can somehow summon up our passion when we're faced with whatever it is that we're faced with, do you think that that could probably help us to engage the next?
You know why I believe that? This is why I believe that. Because I think no matter what dark place we find ourselves in, I think the best thing to usher us into the next phase of our own healing is to reach out and touch somebody else. Mm-hmm. That will promote our healing faster than anything, and that's where your passion should be. Mm-hmm. I'm passionate because no matter how dark my space is right now, I'm passionate because I want to get healed. I want to get from where I am to where I want to be, but it's not about me. It's bigger than me. So when I embrace the reality that this life I have is bigger than me, then I'm passionate because my healing is going to come through reaching out to touch someone else and be a blessing to someone else.
Can you hear that music?
Yes, I do.
Doesn't time fly when you're having fun?
Oh, all the time, my dear.
Don't go away, listeners. We'll be right back to wrap up this discussion with Denise. Food for thought, wouldn't you say? Practicality of living and spiritual evolution. Spirituality 101, we will be right back.
Reprogram Your Life specializes in the design and implementation of life-changing spiritual experiences. Let us help you to expand your consciousness, grow wisdom, or foster realignment of body, mind, and spirit. Whether it's individualized instruction or a group encounter, we are here to tailor the event to suit your needs. Go to www.reprogramyourlife.net or call us at 301-920-2291. That's reprogramyourlife.net or call 301-920-2291. Reprogram Your Life, pioneers in motivation and rehabilitation.
Mom, my tooth fell out.
The coach says I can play shortstop.
I get to be a deciduous tree.
You live for the firsts in your child's life. But how do you cope with the firsts that come after your child is diagnosed with cancer? CureSearch.org connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice.
What if something happens? Will you come get me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home, should we go to the neighbor's house?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Spirituality 101 with Reverend Norma. We encourage your participation in this course. Please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. If you wish to provide written correspondence, please address your emails to myspirituality101@yahoo.com. Now, back to Spirituality 101.
Welcome back. I'm Reverend Norma, and my guest today is Denise Lewis Christopher. She's an author of the book Between, Getting from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. And Denise, believe it or not, we are close to wrap-up time.
How about that?
I want you to share with our listeners. I have one last question for you before we summarize.
Sure, absolutely.
Reading from the book again. When we're wedged between some of life's difficulties, finish that statement for me. What do we do when we're standing there on that edge of transition and it seems absolutely difficult? three pieces of advice you would give.
You know, I went through this, and this is what propelled me to out of my place of just, I would say, what place where I was stuck, where I couldn't move forward, so I thought. I tried to convince myself of that. The first thing we have to do, and I believe this, is get quiet.
Ah, get
for a long minute, and I have to emphasize that, for a long minute. And I say, you know, we have to learn to turn off the TVs, turn off the cell phones, silence the iPods, silence the Blackberries, and make the world wait on you. That's how important God says you are, because you can't even hear the cues to your next step if you're just too busy. We got to learn. There's nothing spooky about being quiet. Nothing. Mm-hmm.
There is sacredness in silence.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. But if you think about our current, our modern world, everywhere we go, somebody knows where we are. Everybody has a GPS. There's cell phones. It's email. There's Facebook. There's MySpace. There's Twitter. There's this. Everybody feels that everybody's got to know what I'm doing and what you're doing at any given moment. That keeps us too busy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I can't even hear the cues to my next phase. I can't even receive my healing because the world, the modern world that we live in, Norma tells us that we can't be still. I say, no, no, no. We can be still. It may be difficult. It may be challenging. But we have got to be still.
Mm-hmm. We're
just
number
that
two.
Important.
Cue number two.
Cue number two, I would say again, rest in where you are. Accept your present truth. In other words, if I have a cold, if I have the flu, okay, I can confess my healing, but I first have to acknowledge that I have the cold and the flu. How do I know to go, you know, in other words, I'm not sick. Well, I might have to go take some lemon and honey.
Mm-hmm.
My present truth is, I'm congested, okay? It's okay to say that. I'm sick right now. So accept your present truth. We got to stop lying to ourselves.
Ah, I like that.
That's lethal. Number three. Number three is embrace this reality. You have not reached your plateau. You have not. You have so much to give. And yes, your life is still very useful.
Mm-hmm.
Very useful.
And use the tools that life has brought forth.
Exactly. Exactly, because it will benefit you and it will benefit every other life that you come into contact with. Your life is useful. You are useful.
Your life is useful. You
exactly.
are useful. That's a powerful and extremely powerful message. Now tell me how my listeners can get their hands on a copy of your book.
Wow. There's a few ways they could do that. They can go to my publisher's website, which is www.authorhouse.com, and you'll follow the links. You can type in my name, Denise Lewis Christopher. It will bring up a window where you can purchase the book. A lot of people choose to get autograph copies, so if you'd like to do that, I would be glad to autograph a copy for it and get it out in the mail to you. That way, if you'd like to have it that way, you can email me at DLEWCHRIS, that's DLUCHRIS, at yahoo.com.
Repeat that again for me.
That's DLEWCHRIS. RIS@yahoo.com.
Okay, they can email you, and that way they can get an autographed copy.
Yes, they can. Or they can simply call me at 703-901-8415. The book is also available online through Borders.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and, of course, Old Faithful, Amazon.com.
Wonderful. So several ways that they can get a hand their hands on a copy of your book. I want to say it made very, very, very intriguing reading for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it
Thank
is
you.
Certainly, it seems to me, it is certainly good advice, strong medicine, for the times in which we live right now. Because time, it seems, I don't know about you, but everybody else, it seems to me like time is speeding up, and I am being required to deal with my stuff and my issues like yesterday. And so any advice that we can get on how to negotiate that space in between getting from where we are to where we need to be is good medicine.
Yes, ma'am.
So I would really encourage listeners to reach out one or several of those options that you have given. And I'd like to, for you to give the option of your email again and your author's website, please.
Wonderful. My email again is dlewchris@yahoo.com. You can email me, let me know you'd like a copy of my book. I will give you more specific information when I hear from you by email. And I'll be glad to get a copy, an autographed copy out to you. Or, again, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Borders.com, or through my publisher, www.authorhouse.com.
I want to thank you very much, Denise, for taking the time, first of all, to be mindful. I want to thank you on behalf of prisoners everywhere for the fact that you have shown the compassion to enter into a prison that's very dear to my heart. I've been doing this work for 22 years, my own ministry. When people ask me, where can I come to church with you? I say, you have got to get yourself locked in. I have a prison ministry where I do a 9 o'clock service in the morning on a Sunday and a 10:30 service in the morning. It's always been my church.
Wonderful.
I want to thank you on behalf of prisoners everywhere that you cared enough to not only enter a facility, but to take away some mindful meditations from it and to have transferred what you learned and what you felt and what you experienced into this book called Between. Getting from where you are to where you want to be. I want to ask God to bless your work on the planet and to expand your territory.
Thank you, my dear. I appreciate you've taken the time to invite me as a guest. I want to welcome your listeners, and I look forward to being able to connect with your listeners as well. Hope that they pick up a copy of the book. And once you do, stay in touch with me because I'd like to hear about your journey. We're still on our own journey. And I can learn. I learn from people. And so you are valuable to me. You have a lot of nuggets you can share with me as well. Thank you so much, Reverend Norm. I appreciate the time that you've given
me. You're welcome. And enjoy the journey. I generally end this show with a statement. And I've been promising to explain where that statement comes from. And that statement is, walk softly on the earth. Tread softly on earth, for we argued for our right to be here. And now that we are here, we are required to bring joy to our journey and to share that journey. And that statement came from my being hauled before the Council of Nine. There is a Council of Nine before us. And being hauled before the Council of Nine to be told that I was wasting my time on earth and it will not be, they would not allow me to continue to do that. And as I was leaving, I was told, walk softly, tread softly, gently on the earth. You argued for your right to be there, and now that you're there, it's your responsibility to bring joy, hope, laughter, much of what you shared with us today. To all of my listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope today you got some pointers in the direction of getting from where you are to where you need to be. Until next week, God bless.
Class is dismissed. Until next week, make sure you're on time to join Reverend Norma every Friday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another session of Spirituality 101. We'll see you then on Seventh Wave Network.